afternoon. Hope you had a great week. Aaron Jacobson here with Dr. Tracy. This is the Dr. Tracy Show, and this is our second show. We had such a fun time last week. Great to be back. And last week was the post-New Year show, obviously just getting into 2016, so we helped everyone recover from their New Year's hangovers. Today, we're going to get into hormones because there's a lot to touch on here, but first, this is the Dr. Tracy Show. Dr. Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's good to be back.
It's great to be back, and it's good. Consistently, you'll get to see my face every week, so get used to it. If you want to visit Dr. Tracy, you could go to their website, peaksofhealth.com, peaksofhealth.com. Give her a call to 727-826-0838. Dr. Tracy, we're going to get into hormones here. Now, tell us a little bit about hormones. What are they?
Well, hormones are chemical signals. And what it is it tells one part of the body to do something. So most people have heard about insulin. So insulin tells your body to take sugar and turn it into energy and put it into the cell. You know, we also know about thyroid. A lot of people, you know, have heard, you know, they're sluggish, they're tired, their thyroid's not working.
What is that, though? What is the actual thyroid? Where is that?
The thyroid is a gland in the neck that actually produces, you know, what we call a hormone called T4. And then it has to move to the cell and activate into something called T3. So what that does is it stimulates the cell and tells it, hey, turn on, get your metabolism moving and rev it up. So
how do you know if it's not revving up?
Well, again, nothing's working properly. I mean, you know, the symptoms of hypothyroidism is huge. You know, it's the speed of every cell in your body. So everything slows down. Your heart slows down. Your liver slows down. Your energy slows down. Your weight, you know, gets affected because you start gaining weight because your metabolism's slowing down. Your brain function slows down.
So hormones are telling your body what to do. How do you know if you're lacking hormones? Because when I see my friends, sometimes I had one friend who was taking hormones because he just wasn't big enough. He wasn't through puberty, he wasn't gaining in size. How do you get somebody, you know, when do you decide that their hormones aren't working properly?
Well, that would have been growth hormone.
Okay, so there's a difference between the growth hormone
exactly.
And the hormone.
Well, growth hormone is a hormone. So again, there's multiple hormones in the body. You know, we think of testosterone, estrogen, progesterone.
What's progesterone? I've never heard of that.
Progesterone is a female hormone, and I call it female Valium. So it's what, you know, it does a lot of things. It's the counter hormone to estrogen. So it helps protect us against higher estrogens. It controls, you know, a female menstrual cycle, which is, you know, the cycle they have every month where they, you know, have their periods.
Yes. You sounded very uncomfortable when you said that.
Yeah.
You're like, let's fly
for the
over
men
this.
Out there that might be uncomfortable with that. But it's also very huge in the brain chemistry, and it actually calms the brain down. So when a, you know, think of a woman who PMSs every month, that's usually low progesterone.
Okay.
You know, so they don't have.
So you're lacking hormones?
Yeah, you're low on hormones.
But what the growth hormones, tell a little bit about the difference and how many hormones are there?
There are, you know, almost over 100 hormones in the body. You know, we know of the main ones, you know, but there are like adiponectin and leptin. There's a lot of different hormones in there that we may never even heard of that control a lot of things. We usually deal with most of the more common hormones. Like, you know, pregnenolone is a major hormone in the brain. It's what controls all those chemicals in the brain. And people have heard of serotonin.
Yeah.
Dopamine.
Absolutely.
GABA. They're all.
Never heard of GABA.
GABA is the calming hormone of the brain. That's what helps you sleep, and that's what Valium and Xanax work on.
I don't have a lot of GABA.
Yeah. So again, that's what progesterone works on. That's why we call it the female Valium. Most of my patients will understand that one. But you know, there's quite a few, we call those neurotransmitters, but they're hormones that stay in the brain. So pregnenolone is kind of like the parent to these. So it's what tells the kids all to behave. So when it goes down, then everything goes crazy up there.
How many people come to your office and they're just you figure out they need help with whatever you know, with hormones? What do? How do you decipher this is a hormone mm-hmm. problem?
Well, in a lot of cases, we'll look at those hormones. And then the same thing, is it because the body's under a lot of stress and stealing those hormones to control their stress system? Because you got to realize, you know, cortisol is a hormone. It's our stress hormone. But, you know, because it is a main hormone, meaning, you know, I call it a primary hormone. And what that means is if your body doesn't have it, it dies. So your body will use everything under the sun to protect that particular hormone. So it will steal your progesterone and it will steal your testosterone. This is where a lot of men end up with low testosterone systems under chronic stress.
Do you treat all that? If a man has low T, will you treat that?
We do treat a lot of low testosterone. But on a 23-year-old, if they have low testosterone, I'm not going to treat them with testosterone. I'm going to find out why their body can't make
Something's
it.
Something's wrong there.
Something's wrong. We're going to stimulate it and get it going and get them to make their own testosterone again. There's no reason a 23-year-old can't have enough testosterone in their system.
And just like we discovered last week with you, Dr. Tracy, there's, you know, every symptom and every different, you know, situation, there's a different way to treat it. It's not just all, you know, black and white. You don't just treat it like that. There's certain situations that, you know, you have to handle differently.
Absolutely. Because, you know, depending on why someone's hormones went down, it might be the fact that they had a mild traumatic brain injury. That disrupts the chemistry in the brain, and you create, your hormones are made by a signal in the brain that tells you to make them.
How do you figure that out, though? Because you're not a psychologist or, you know, you're not digging deep into someone's past. How do you find that?
I'm not dealing into their psyche, but I am certainly dealing into the brain chemistry. And so we can actually measure all those hormones in the brain. We can actually measure things like luteinizing hormone and FSH. And what they are is they're the part of the brain that tell the other part of the body to make testosterone or to make some of these other hormones. So we can actually look at the precursors and see where the damage is coming from.
So what about if you have too much testosterone?
Again, why does the person overmaking testosterone? Although we haven't seen too many men that complain about that.
I was going to say, it sounds like a good problem to have.
Women, a little bit. But men, we haven't seen too many complain about too much testosterone and self-production.
Does that happen, though? I mean, is it? Can you hurt yourself if you have too much testosterone being produced?
You really have to go to fairly high levels. And these are usually people that are injecting testosterone and actually giving themselves too much.
That's steroids, correct?
Yeah. You got to realize the body has a self-mechanism to prevent overproduction in most cases. So if you do have that, and most of the time we find that in women, and then that's a genetic problem. You know, they have a gene that's causing that problem.
This is the Dr. Tracy Show. If you're just joining us, I'm Aaron Jacobson, joined by the doctor, Dr. Tracy, peaksofhealth.com. If you want to find out some more information, right now we're talking about hormones. And you were telling me about bioidentical hormones. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the difference between synthetic and bioidentical hormones is bioidentical is, you know, it's not made in the body. It's usually made from a plant-based yam. But what it is identical in structure to the hormone we make in our body. And what that means is I try to explain it. Like if you have a locksmith coming key your locks and they don't do it perfectly, then that key might go in but not turn the lock. And that's the same thing with the receptors of the hormones. You can get something similar to your hormone in there, but it may not hit that receptor site and turn it on. So bioidenticals are that key that's keyed properly.
So you, if somebody wants to turn it on, you go see Dr. Tracy, you'll fix them up.
Yeah, we use only bioidentical hormones in our practice. We don't use any synthetics.
Somebody who's going through this kind of treatment, what does it entail?
Well, it entails actually measuring the levels, finding out what's going on, and putting the symptoms. Because, you know, again, everybody is different. You may feel really good with a lower level, you know, of testosterone as long as it's in an optimal range, where the next person may be feeling, you know, not as good at that level and they need a much higher level. So there's a range of optimal levels of hormones. And, you know, that person may sit at the low end of the range, may sit at the high end of the range. So you want to also ask your patient how they feel. I think we got out of that as physicians.
Yeah, there's not just a measurement. There's not
exactly,
just a level.
You know, I tell my patients when I, you know, I always have to do a review with them on their labs because I have to ask them how they're feeling,
yeah.
You know, because I customize the dose to their symptoms and make sure that we get them feeling good. You know, I can't get the same person the same dose and keep everybody at the exact same level. It doesn't work that way.
What are they supposed to be feeling?
Well, again, men on with low testosterone will actually, you know, tired, fatigued, irritable, gaining weight, losing muscle mass, their sugars can go up. Diabetes, almost every single one of my type 2 diabetics in men have low testosterone.
Well, go back. I want to go through those a little bit more. And so fatigue, any of these, you know, things like fatigue, what were the other ones?
Well, fatigue, weight gain, irritability, you know, brain fog, the memory not working as well. Testosterone is huge in the male memory. Estrogen is huge in the female memory, you know. So again, you know, my females that are very irritable, you know, they turn around and they're starting to gain weight, especially around their middle. They're losing bone mass. You know, they're losing sleep. Progesterone is huge in sleep. So is pregnenolone.
I think it's hard for people to identify this and then actually say, I'm going to go fix it. I think a lot of people just say, I'm just going to live with it. I'm tired. That's life. Mm-hmm. That's what I do. But there are ways, there's always a way to help this, right?
There is always a way to help this. And we got to realize our, you know, our diets, our stress levels, you know, what we choose to do, whether we overexercise or no exercise, those all play a part in our hormones, you know, because growth hormone is stimulated with proper sleep and exercise. So what happens if we're not sleeping and we're not exercising? our growth hormone is going to go naturally down, you know, so we're not going to repair our body. So we're going to get that injury out on that court, you know, or if we're, you know, doing anything athletically. So those are the kinds of things we look at. You know, we look at the patient's hormones and we put that picture together. It's not always they need replacement. Sometimes they just need to stop doing what's causing the problem.
What about for the people that just aren't doing, the people that sit on their couch all the time, they come in to see you and you say, you have to make a change. Not only are we going to help you, you have to do it to yourself. You have to get up, you have to move, you have to exercise. A lot of people say, well, when I get done with work, I'm tired. I have to deal with my kids. It's tough for me to get out there and get the hour of exercise that I need. How do you help those people?
Well, again, if they're tired where their body can't deal with what they're putting through, that's my job to get that energy level back up. You know, if we can fix the problem, you know, we can fix their, you know, adrenal stress glands, we can fix, you know, the hormones that are being affected by it and kind of reverse that process, then they have the energy to do what they need to do. You know, and I always tell people, it does not have to be an hour in the gym. You can do 10 minutes here. You can do 5 minutes there.
Okay. You can spread it out.
You can spread it out.
So there are plenty of ways. Everybody's different. There's always a way to help. And there's always a system that everyone can go through that's, you know, you don't have to be the same system as everyone else. Create your own. Dr. Tracy will help you do that. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. Check us out, peaksofhealth.com. If you want to call for some more information, 727-826-0800. So much more to talk about with hormones, bioidentical hormones, synthetic hormones. Dr. Tracy's going to tell you about it all next. This is the Dr. Tracy Show on 970 WFLA, peaksofhealth.com. That's where you'll find all your information. Check it out, 727-826-0838 if you want to make the call. Great weekend so far. Hope you're all having a good, safe, healthy weekend. And if you want to learn more about being healthy, that's why we're here. We're with Dr. Tracy, who's letting us in on all the secrets that she's accumulated over the years of research, teaching, everything you've been through, your personal story. It all got you to where you are today. And today we're talking about hormones. And earlier in the show, we were just introducing what hormones are, what your body, you know, why your body needs them or what they, you know, do to your body. Talk about testing. How do you test for hormones?
Well, you can test multiple ways. We usually start with blood testing because, you know, if people are not on hormones currently, that's a good way to test. You know, and it kind of depends on, you know, the person. If it's a young female who is still having a cycle, we got to make sure we test the proper day, or we'll test all month long. We can also test via what we call saliva or spit. We can have them spit in tubes and test their hormones that way.
Oh, plain and simple.
Yeah, so we can actually even do a finger prick. And it's called, you know, capillary blood. So we can do a blood spot on them and get their hormones that way.
Are these quick? I mean, what's the process?
Well, blood test takes us about a week to get back.
Okay.
And then, you know, saliva testing takes us a couple of weeks to get back. You know, if we're testing cortisol levels, then that's usually saliva, you know, because we have to test all through the day. Cortisol varies all day long. So we test about four times a day to get a proper proper level.
All right. So a patient comes in, you do the testing. What next?
Well, then we go over it with them. We not only compare the symptoms that they have with what's going on, and then we explain the hormones. And, you know, the thing is, you know, I always tell my women, especially on testosterone, you know, when we look at the normal levels that they have listed for testosterone for females, I'm sure it was not a woman who decided what normal was, because it goes from 5 on up. And a 5 level is, you know, 1, a female feels horrendous at that level, and 2, it's an 80-year-old. You know, so we got to realize that the ranges that they give us are from the 80-year-old down to the 20-year-old.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we average them, we kind of put our patients what we call optimal. We put them at the ages of, you know, 25 to 35, you know, before they go into menopause or perimenopause. And that's where they start. They feel great, you know. And again, a lot of it is, you know, women that are tired, sluggish, no sex drive. Testosterone drops below 30 and they start losing their sex drive. They start losing their muscle mass.
Is that normal?
It's very normal, you know, starting about 35 to 40. And this is where, you know, again, when we think about this, you know, I have patients that come in and it's like, you know, they've been married 10, 15, 20 years. And the husband doesn't go into what we call andropause 10 years after the female does. So think about
what is that? What's the andropause?
Andropause is male menopause, basically when the testosterone starts dropping off.
What happens though? You will lose the ability to, you know, have a child. I mean, obviously with menopause with women, that's what you hear. They cannot have children.
They cannot have children in menopause because they can't produce that egg.
Okay.
But men are different. They can still produce sperm.
Okay.
So as long as they can produce sperm, but they will lose their brain power. They'll start losing their bone mass where they can have fractures just like women can. They don't lose the, you know, their sexual drive and everything until it starts dropping into the low 400s or 300s. And they don't lose their ability to have their erections until it starts hitting 250 or less. So a male can be really, you know, fairly low and start having no heart protection, no bone protection, no brain protection and everything else and start having symptoms with still having everything else intact.
Now, is it possible that the low, you know, having the low testosterone or women feeling like they've lost their sex drive? Sometimes, obviously, in a relationship, you know, the husband, the wife, whatever, they may feel like that's because of them. How do you know, obviously, if maybe they've sometimes you hear, well, I just lost attraction. No, maybe you're actually just losing the testosterone. How do you know the difference?
Well, we ask a lot of questions, too.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, again, most of the women will actually tell you, you know, and you start looking at those levels and it's like they have a level of 5. And I'm looking at them going, there's no way you'll have a sex drive with this.
Yeah.
You know, we start replacing that hormone and getting it back up to optimal, and you'll be surprised at how much that starts kicking back in. And if it doesn't, then we start looking for other causes.
Okay. So that's the thing. If it doesn't, if they don't have the low count, you can say, well, maybe this is something else. But right away, it's easy to identify if they're having that problem because of the low T.
Yeah. And if you get it back up there and their sex drive comes back, you know, for sure that's what it was. And if not, then we start looking for other causes.
What are the methods you guys go through?
Well, you can give hormones in any different way. You know, we can give hormones by pill, like progesterone, pregnenolone, DHEA are all good in pill form. I don't give estrogen by pill because it can increase clotting capabilities. So we give estrogen by cream or pellet. Pellets are inserted underneath the skin. Cream is rubbed on every day.
How long are you taking these?
It kind of depends on the person. Some people will take them, you know, for life.
Okay.
Other people will take them to get them through the symptoms of menopause.
The medicine expensive?
It's not very expensive, no. You know, in some cases, like progesterone is usually covered by insurance and things like that. The creams we have custom made to our patients, but, you know, they're about $25, $30 a month. So they're not, you know, they're very doable for most people.
Yeah. And when you have people come in and you're doing these tests, you're doing the methods, how often do you find that, you know, you put them on the right treatment, you can get these levels back to where they need to be?
We can get almost anybody back to where they need to be because we just measure and make the adjustments to get them there. You know, it usually takes, it depends on what method we use. If we insert a pellet, we usually have them back up to full dosing within 2 weeks.
Okay.
If we do it by cream, it takes a little bit longer because we're slowly dosing up. If we give pills, you know, we remeasure in 4 to 6 weeks to see if we have it. I don't give a super high dose initially because you never know how everybody's going to respond. So we give a test dose based on what their levels are, and then we actually remeasure to see how they responded.
You said some people will use it for the rest of their life. What if somebody does want to only use it for a couple weeks, months, whatever, just to get their levels back up? Can they get off of it after that?
Well, you got to realize if they're in menopause or andropause, as soon as they get off of it, their levels are going to come back down because their body no longer has the ability to make the hormone. But if it's, say it's a person who is 25 years old because, you know, severe stress or they were, you know, their diet or something happened that affected their hormones and we correct that hormone, then we correct the reason, then they might be able to come off of it and start making their hormone again and re-stimulate it.
Now, you actually have an example. We're not going to give the name of the patient, but you have a good example that we're going to get to in the next segment. A good story because it's obviously we're coming out here and we're giving you information, but when you guys hear actually what's going on behind the scenes, that's where it really hits home and you guys can really identify with it. So we'll get into more on that. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. I'm Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. If you want to visit him on Facebook, go to Peaks of Health. Website peaksofhealth.com. And if you want to call, get some more information, please do so. 727-826-0838. More on hormones when we get back. Dr. Tracy Show. Dr. Tracy Show on 970 WFLA. Aaron Jacobson here with Dr. Tracy on a beautiful Sunday, and hopefully you guys are all having a great weekend. Today, we're talking about hormones. Last week, we had our introduction show. We told you all about how you guys can cure that New Year's Eve hangover, and also some tips for the resolutions, maybe if you want to get yourself in a better diet. Today we're talking about hormones, and earlier we were talking about testing, methods, different ways to find out about how to improve yourself. Now, you have a story you want to talk about, a specific instance involving hormones. Tell us a little bit, Dr. Tracy.
Yeah, and this is actually a fairly common story, but it's really funny because I had a wife come in, and her husband was fairly skeptical. You know, she was really being irritable, very, kind of bitchy, no sex drive, she just didn't feel good. And most of it was all menopausal, so we went ahead and...
Did she come in on her own, or was this the husband saying, listen, I got to get her help?
No, actually, she came in on her own. The husband came with her because he was kind of skeptical about what we did. He wanted to see what was going on here. And so we went through all her lab tests, and, we went through the hormones. We gave her all her options, and she decided to get hormone pellets, mainly because they worked faster, and she wanted to,
Talk again about what the pellets are.
Well, the pellets are inserted just underneath the skin. They're called subcutaneous, which means in the fat underneath the skin. And they last for anywhere from 4 to 6 months. So they are more natural in terms of they're fully bioidentical pellets. And they actually act the way your body acts. So it keeps your level really even for a prolonged period of time, as opposed to going up and down all the time.
Is it painful getting...
No, it's not painful at all. It takes me 5 minutes to do the procedure. I mean, I'm surgically trained, so I'm pretty good at this. haven't been in the ER for so many years. But, it doesn't hurt, and it doesn't take hardly any time. It takes 5 to 10 minutes to do. And, and then it raises the levels within 2 weeks. So 2 weeks later, he comes back in. He goes, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I got my wife back. This is amazing.
Wow.
She's nice.
2 weeks?
Within 2 weeks, her levels were back up.
What are we talking about, levels? I mean, where did she start and where did she end up?
Well, she started at a zero testosterone.
Is that, what is zero?
Zero means she had none.
Yeah, none.
She had no hormones at all left.
Wow.
Her estrogen was zero. Her progesterone was zero. Her testosterone was zero. It is not uncommon, And again, I see this more and more. And these are the patients who really are feeling it. We see some that are really low, but now we're seeing I'm seeing young girls even and young guys with low testosterone levels. And it's just amazing.
More young as opposed to what you used to see?
Usually we didn't see anything until the 50s and 60s. Now we're seeing women go into early menopause into late 30s. And 40s, we're seeing guys in their 30s starting to drop their testosterone.
Why?
I think a lot of it is, our diets are really poor. Yeah. The amount of stress we're under lowers it. Our immune systems are getting hit with more infections and the chemicals in the environment. I mean, we have a lot of, soy in our food supply, which actually affects estrogen. We have a lot of exposure. All these plastic bottles we drink out of have BPA in them, and that's an estrogen stimulator.
So what are you saying? Stay away from the plastic?
Well, actually, I try to stay away from it as much as possible.
Really?
And I never let it go to extreme temperatures, because if the plastic goes to real cold, like a lot of people freeze their bottles, well, that leaches that BPA into the water that you're drinking. The same thing if you let it sit in your car and overheat, it'll do the same thing.
Because I'll have you're making me worried now. I'll have a Gatorade in my car. Maybe I'll play basketball. I'll be very thirsty. And I had a Gatorade in there from 3 weeks ago, and I'll drink the Gatorade.
And you'll be surprised at how many guys have higher estrogen levels in their body, and how many women are what we call estrogen dominant in their system, and it's a balance of hormones. The hormones, I always say it's like a symphony. If you're listening to an orchestra and one instrument's out of tune, you can tell. And that's the same way with your hormones. If one of those is out of tune, then it throws the rest of them off.
So is that why I'm crying so much? I got my estrogen level?
That might be.
Well, to go back to this story a little bit, because it's very interesting. 2 weeks, obviously, this guy, they were having some troubles. And the life at home, if you're not feeling good, it's gonna affect all aspects of your life, your family, your husband. It's going to affect different aspects. 2 weeks later, her levels were up and she was back to normal, what he was saying?
He said he had his old wife back.
Wow.
And he was as happy as could be. He is now my patient and he has his own hormones in because he couldn't keep up with her anymore.
I love it.
Her sex drive went up and he's like, I need to get
Doc,
dosed.
You fixed her too much.
I know. And this is not uncommon. Many times we have the wives in and they get fixed and all of a sudden the husbands are right behind them.
That's great.
And same thing. I got into hormones, because I actually went into early menopause. And I went to a doctor to treat my hormones and they did the blood tests and everything. But the doctor actually gave me a male dose of testosterone. And I come to find out that he didn't dose me at all. He sent my levels to the pharmacist and the pharmacist dosed me and thought Tracy was a male name. So the dose came back male. I didn't know a darn thing about hormones, but I did know, a 670 was a little high for a female.
Okay.
And of course, I was a little symptomatic on that one, too.
So they actually... they gave you the wrong medicine, the wrong dosage, because they thought you were a male instead of a female.
Yeah, but part of that was the doctor didn't dose me. You know, it turned out that a lot of doctors, what they were doing, I found out, was actually sending the labs to a compound pharmacist, and the pharmacist was figuring out the dosing
for them. And they don't
even
know you.
And they don't know me, you know, so.
You don't do that, by the way, correct?
No, I do all my own dosing. Okay. You know, I may talk to a pharmacist sometimes, but I actually do all my own dosing.
Now, you were just alluding to it, but why, tell us why that's important.
Well, it's very important because, you know, you have to have that person in front of you, knows your symptoms, and sees how you react to this, and knows how to properly dose the hormones, you know, and knows how to combine those hormones. It's not, you know, you have to know every aspect of the hormone, where it goes, all its pathways, what it's easy to, you know, give somebody a basic dose of hormones, but it's very difficult to customize those hormones. And you need to know what can happen, every pathway it may go down, and where you can block that pathway to get it where you want it to go. Because we can manipulate those hormones in every way, shape, form we want.
And I joked with you a little earlier and said you're not a psychologist, but in a way you are. You're kind of getting to know this person's specific functioning of the hormones. So maybe not the person, but what's going on inside of them.
That's a nice little chemist there. But yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's really good when you turn around and get that person back to where they need to be. That is amazing. You know, we have a lot of young men in our practice, and, you know, it's amazing how many young men have hormone issues. And one of the main causes we were finding is traumatic brain injury. I'm certified in traumatic brain injury, and these hormones get affected by these head injuries, you know, and we're finding that once we give the hormone back to the person, it's amazing the changes that occur in them.
Yeah.
The depressions go away, the irritabilities go away, the thinking abilities start improving.
And when people get to know you, it's so clear you have such a strong passion for this. And you were just saying how you get excited, you know, when you see people getting back to where they want to be, feeling good about themselves, feeling good in life. Talk about that a little bit more, and how every patient, they really, you want to help them.
You do. I mean, there is nothing more satisfying than having that patient come in the door that, you know, 6 months ago felt horrendous, and now they're telling us they feel back to normal again. Or they feel, you know, we have one patient who wouldn't have even been able to, you know, maybe go to the store, and she's telling us that she just did a whole day at Disney with her family. She got
Amazing.
To, you know, take her daughter to the park, which she would never have been able to do.
Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. So she couldn't go to the store. What was wrong with her?
She had severe fatigue. She actually had a couple infections, chronic infections, viruses in her body that were really affecting her energy system. And
what,
so
when you say severe fatigue, you say, well, you're tired. We get it. You're tired. But when I think somebody can't go to the store, I'm thinking they have a broken leg. Something's really going on there. Fatigue can affect you that much where you can't get up to go to the store?
We have patients that have been so severely fatigued that they can hardly get out of bed. They can't even get out of bed to get a shower half the time.
Wow.
You know, and that person, you know, really has something going on. You know, so we start looking at that system. In this particular person, you know, she could hardly get through her day. And, you know, she would have never thought of going to, you know, an amusement park or something like that, or an entire day event with her family. And, you know, coming back and saying, I went the whole day. I was a little tired at the end of the day, but I made it through the whole day.
But you can see you tell me how happy they are. I mean,
thrill. Can you imagine having, you know, a 12-year-old kid that you can't even do an event with?
It's depressing.
It's very depressing for that person.
So not only are you dealing with the fatigue, you're dealing with the mental aspect of, I want to do this, but I physically cannot get up to do it.
Yes, exactly. You know, and these aren't lazy people. You know, these are people who really want to push themselves.
Yeah.
Their bodies just won't work anymore.
And that's where I think it's hard for me to really understand, because I'm thinking, get up, go to the store. But it's not as easy as that.
It's not as easy as that. You know, we have a lot of patients that have been progressing, you know, with problems like that throughout the years, you know, or somebody who has multiple sclerosis and things like that. And, you know, actually hormone therapy is part of the treatment for multiple sclerosis. You know, and most people don't know about it because they usually just get injections and shots that block their immune system, because it's, you know, something that destroys your brain and part of that immune system. But we also found that women in the third trimester of pregnancy all go into remission. So if we mimic that third trimester of pregnancy of the hormones, because it turns out that that particular hormone shuts it off, then we can actually shut that system off.
Interesting. When did you guys find that out?
It's been discovered about 15, 20 years ago.
Okay.
But it's now getting more common in the practice.
Why? Why now?
I think because, you know, when the Women's Health Initiative hit about 20 years ago and we cut off hormones saying, no, they're bad, we can't use them anymore, you know, and then now realize that that study was a very flawed study and it was inaccurate. You know, now we're starting to get back into getting back on hormones. You know, and I try to tell patients, it wasn't bad when we died at the age of 40 because we never made it past menopause. Mm. But now that we live to be 80 and 90, you know, I want to be on a tennis court, you know, playing and golfing and enjoying life. I don't want to be in a nursing home in a wheelchair.
Absolutely. And who does?
Exactly. I want my brain intact.
Yeah. You know? I think we all do. And the fatigue you were talking about, your patient earlier who couldn't get out of bed, go to the store, and then they were at Disney hanging out at an amusement park with their family, spending the whole day there. How long did that take?
It took probably about 8 months to get her to that point.
But it's a slow process.
That's a severe case. You know, it's a slow process. In some of our patients, it can be a slow process because they've been, you know, they've been in that point for so long. You know, I can't reverse something that's taken 10 years to get there in 2 months. You know, but it does happen.
Well, hang in there. We definitely want to touch more on this next. We're on the Dr. Tracy Show right here at 970 WFLA. Stay tuned. More on this next. Dr. Tracy Show on 970 WFLA. Hope you're all having a great weekend. Aaron Jacobson here with Dr. Tracy. Dr. Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing so good.
We're hanging in there having a good time. Earlier we were talking about, you were telling us some really interesting stories. We're talking about hormones and testosterone and basically fatigue. When you feel bad, finding out why you feel bad. And Dr. Tracy, you know so much about this. And you're telling us about a patient who couldn't get out of bed to go down to the store and what was it, 8 months later, after some treatment, she actually went to Disney World with her entire family. So talk a little more bit about that.
Well, yeah. I mean, she had been feeling progressively better through those 8 months. You know, it didn't take her 8 months before she could get out of the house. But, you know, she was doing like little things. Hey, I can do this. I cleaned the house. I did that. This is the first time she felt comfortable enough to actually engage in an entire day event, you know, that she thought she could make it through. And she was so happy. I mean, it was like we were high-fiving everybody in the office. You know, it was awesome because it's like that corner she turned.
Yeah. And that's interesting to me because it's just like anything else in life. If you get off caffeine or you stop smoking cigarettes, every day is a victory. You're so excited. And I think, go through that. Tell us about the process of the patient, dealing with the patient, not just diagnosing them and fixing them and end result. Talk about the whole process.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, you know, a lot of these patients, they actually end up becoming very good friends in the end, you know, because you get to know them. You get to know their families. You know, you eventually start taking care of their families. You know, I got to know her daughter. Her daughter now actually, you know, hangs out with my daughter sometimes, you know, because when they're in the office and she's having to bring her in, I just like let her put the two kids aside and let them play.
See, I love when you talk about this because you act like this is a normal doctor-patient relationship. This is unique. This isn't something you just, you know, I've had plenty of doctors over my life and none of them I consider a close friend or even a friend at all. So tell us how it's so important for you to build that relationship with the patient.
Well, a lot of times you really have to build that trust with the patient too. I mean, they got to know that they can tell you anything, you know, because if they leave one hint out, you know, and when you just, a lot of times I just like having conversations with my patients because you learn so much in those conversations. You know, they might let something slip that they didn't think was important, you know, and sometimes that is the key that kind of like throws the light bulb off in your head going, wait a minute, did I miss this or did I miss that? You know, there's so many of my patients, you know, that end up having my personal email address and I contact on the weekends. And, you know, it's just, you need that relationship in order to get people through a lot of their issues and get people through. I mean, when that's that sick, you got to hold their hand a lot to say, hey, look, I know you feel crappy right now. Give me a couple of months to get this turned around a little bit for you. So you'll start feeling a little bit better.
You're a part of their family.
Yeah, you end up, you know, I now have her husband in there and everything else. I end up, you know, taking care of the whole family sometimes.
20 years, you'll have the kids in.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so this, talk about, we'll call her patient A. Talk about patient A and where she is now. And how long ago was this Disney World trip and where she is now?
Well, the Disney World trip was probably about 4 months ago.
Okay.
You know, and she was just in the office recently. She is doing so much better. I mean, she's, you know, being able to almost get back to her entire routine, back to her normal life.
Still on the treatment, though?
Still on treatment.
Will she be like that her whole life?
Not her whole life. I mean, she'll still be on probably hormone treatment most of her life. And, you know, I mean, she... you know, is in a very busy environment. Mm-hmm. You know, her husband has a high power job and things like that.
Going to the store. She's hanging out with the kids.
She's hanging out with the kids. She's getting back involved in the school. So she's doing all of that, you know. So she's pretty much got her life back.
All right. So you're about a year into it with her, correct?
About a year into it.
Tell me how you feel. Honestly, I mean, when you see that, think back a year ago to when you started with this patient to now, I mean, the transition, how does it make you feel?
It's awesome. I mean, again, you feel like you gave this person their life back,
yeah.
You know, and this is, you know, the progression. It's, as I said, you know, and it was a team. It wasn't just me. Dr. Bankston and Dr. Wedman both worked with her. You know, it was a collaboration, but we get so happy when we see that patient finally, you know, they're almost back to where they want to be, you know, and then it's a continued progress, you know, because frankly, something else could hit that actually drives her back down. We have to make sure all of her systems are on all cylinders so that, you know, she doesn't get another infection, nothing hits her immune system.
Common, though, that something will come back and hit her and maybe digress?
If they start, you know, a lot of patients, you know, what happens sometimes is they think that they're better and they don't need, you know, continued treatment or they don't need to be followed. Mm-hmm. We watch our patients about every 6 months to look for early signs of something changing, you know, so that we can catch it early so they don't go down that pathway again.
Okay.
So if they kind of stop doing that, we'll see them pretty much when something does happen.
Now, this is an example of something that took about 8 months and obviously you saw it evolve. It wasn't just 8 months later she felt good again. Talk about, obviously, I'm sure you have situations where it takes a little bit longer to get that person back to where they need to be.
It does. One of our toughest cases was a young girl, you know, that I started seeing. And it started out, looked like it may have been just hormones for her. We started correcting her hormones, but I'm like, something's wrong. You know, why would a girl this young be this off? Mm-hmm. And we started digging deeper into her system. She was so sick. I mean, she had such severe migraines. She was incapacitated. She dropped out of college. I mean, she just couldn't tolerate anything. And we did find originally that she was infected with Lyme disease, and we treated the Lyme, and she still wasn't getting better.
For someone who doesn't know what Lyme disease is, quickly tell us what Lyme disease is.
Lyme disease is a infection. It's caused by a spirochete, thought to be mainly tick, but we do know there's other things that you can transmit Lyme with.
Okay, so transmitted through tick.
That really affects not only the immune system, but it kills the body's ability to make energy. So these people get severely fatigued. Some of them will get severe joint pain. It can get into the brain and cause a lot of, and hers was in the brain.
Okay.
So she had a lot of neurological, she would lose her vision at times. She would get severe migraines. She would, you know, be almost incapacitated during her cycle, menstrual cycles. And so, you know, she wasn't getting better like we thought. So again, you know, we started with a team approach. I had Dr. Bankston see her, I had Dr. Wedman see her, and we thought that, you know, we might have mold in her system. And she was, you know, she had the genetics that would predispose her. So we can actually look at the gene system and say, okay, this person's susceptible to this because their body cannot get rid of it.
How long ago was that when you started that treatment?
We started seeing her about 8 years ago.
Still seeing her today?
One of us is still seeing her today, yes, because she's pretty much back to normal.
Okay.
And so it's just, you know, progressive evaluations. But I started seeing her about 8 years ago, and it took us a good 7 years to find out that what happened was she was exposed to mold. We found the source. We got rid of the source. She still wasn't better. It turned out to be the breast implant she had implanted.
Wow.
The mold seeded into her breast implants.
Wow.
And that was just a lot of research. We found an article that said this can happen. We found a surgeon who said, yes, this does happen. We removed them and boom.
Even though it took time, you found it.
We found it. I mean, this was something that was a red herring nobody would have thought of. Now, since then, I've had two other patients with the same problem.
And it's obviously you have to go through something like that to maybe say next time, no, I've seen this before. Very interesting stuff. A lot of great stories. Dr. Tracy, clearly in the next couple of weeks, we're going to share some more stories like this. Today, we're talking about hormones. We introduce you to hormones and bioidentical hormones, synthetical hormones, everything you need to know. If you want to learn more about Dr. Tracy, peaksofhealth.com. You can visit their Facebook page, Peaks of Health. If you want to give them a call, 727-826-0838. Dr. Tracy, thank you so much. Have a great week.
Oh, thank you. You too.
Have a great week, everyone.